I had lived this double life. And it was like going out into the world. Okay, I have my period. I go through this exorcist moment. Then I go out into the world again. And sometimes I have to miss days of my life and all this stuff. So it's living this double life. And I can't really talk about it to anyone because everyone thinks blood and all this other shit is weird.
Yeah.
It's holy shit, dude. You know what? This is my body and I need to honor what it needs. It's not bad. It's not wrong. It has pain. You know what? It's telling me that it needs rest. I just need to stay in bed. It's telling me that I would like some heat and that feels good. So first, it was that. It was acknowledging, being authentic, being real about this is a shitstorm and I'm going to walk through it. I'm no longer going to walk around it. I'm not going to use coping mechanisms. I'm not going to blame it on other people. I'm walking through. I'm going to sit with my pain. I'm going to ask it what it needs. I'm going to look at it in the face of everything that I've been so scared of. Scared of dying. Again, all those other things. Welcome to this very special Roles Reversed episode as the fabulous mystic and holistic astrologer Allie Knoll interviews me. You will laugh your ass off as we discuss periods, family, narcissism, as well as, of course, my Every Phase art series. Before we dive in, though, I really want to thank you for having the bravery to face your shit and heal yourself by listening to this show. If you haven't noticed, we are currently living in a very censored world. I mean, just the title of this show literally points to that. So because we're talking about truth, freedom, and very real shit on this show, its exposure and its reach are being limited. So we can't actually reach the full potential of people that need help and want to hear this. So thank you also for liking, sharing, and subscribing to my channel to help me break the algorithm and help others heal themselves. Facing your shit and healing yourself is a movement. And you can join this movement with a one-off donation or become a member for as low as $5 a month and receive exclusive art, be featured on the show, submit questions for guests, and more. This podcast complements and is the science behind my award-winning augmented reality interactive art book, Face Your Shit, Heal Yourself, about how I healed myself from endometriosis. And speaking of art books, if you're thinking of creating one, I highly, highly recommend checking out Snap Collective, where you can create and sell your art book for basically free. Yes, I said free. I really wish I would have known about this when I published my book, so that's why I am telling you. They have an innovative and very unconventional concept founded by Dr. Philip Mueller, who believes in supporting emerging talents, providing them a platform to showcase their creativity to the world without any financial contribution. From selecting the most compelling pieces to designing the layout and choosing the finest materials, Snap Collective takes care of it all. So you can focus on what you do best, creating breathtaking works of art. Contact today with the link in the show notes and explore the endless possibilities of publishing your own art book. So all that to say, even though I was lied to for years by doctors promoting big pharma, I was able to find experts and practices that helped me achieve what I thought was impossible, healing myself of chronic disease. And today, the humble expert we are chatting with is me.
It's speaking a language you didn't know you had inside. I don't know. I don't even know how to explain it other than it's like, I knew French my entire life and everybody around me was speaking Spanish. And yeah. Suddenly, for the very first time, somebody starts speaking French to me and it's,
you know French, I'm a trait.
Yeah.
No.
It's so validating too. And then it's not really not even, there's first the big realization that, holy shit, like half the people in this world are literally cut themselves off from source and totally living narcissistically. There's that realization. But then there's also the realization of like my unhealed wounds that make me a match to that, because everyone it's, and you can't even beat yourself up because we're born into it. Especially women are literally programmed to be codependent. Like it is like you're born into that shit. So it's then looking at your own programming and being like, where am I on the spectrum? And I didn't even realize that I was in this like louche feeding game where everyone's feeding off my energy and I'm giving it away. And I didn't even realize it until like, you do something like Melanie Tonya Evans, you have some kind of like profound experience. Like it was the same for me. It was my sister. Mm. And I know it sounds really bad, but to be honest with you, going, because there's this programming we have, like, it's family, it's okay. Get run over because it's family. It's okay. They can abuse you. It's okay. They can do this stuff because it's family. It's no, it's not. It doesn't make a fucking difference because you're blood related to someone. If someone is abusive to you, nothing good is going to come from that, regardless if they're blood related to you or not. And going no contact with her was one of the best things I ever did. I feel like a weight, and that sounds like to most people so bad, but I came home to myself and found a freedom and boundaries and empowerment that I never had. And it wasn't just because, oh, I cut this person out of my life. It was because I stood for myself and I set certain boundaries, certain standards in my life. And if that person doesn't want to agree to those, that's fine. They can be that way. They can throw a fit. They can yell. They can scream. They can abuse people, but I won't be a part of their life. And so that was a huge realization, just like boundaries are for you. They're not for other people. They're for you. But yeah.
And I think that in mind too, the idea of this is such a double-edged sword, but like not having to explain when you set those boundaries for yourself, like you don't have to give an explanation to the abuser that you're setting those boundaries for. And like your abuser's going to cry and they're going to say, you're ghosting me and you're being fake now. And you're, but sometimes I always tell people who argue that's not real. People aren't like that. How could you do that to your family? Consider yourself very blessed and privileged to never have to have been in a place where you've had to consider, quote, ghosting or that cutoff or that hard boundary as the last option in a long line of other shit you've tried to do. Because you have love for someone. Really, I think that's the most heartbreaking thing about narcissism. From essentially the victim's point of view, you feel that you're like trying to love someone. You want love. It's all like a matter of trying to get that.
It's loving yourself. That's what really the whole thing is all about. You cannot be with a narcissist. Your narcissist can't be in your life if you love yourself, period. If you truly love yourself, I promise you that people that are psychically feeding off of you, they're not going to be able to be around you. And so that's the whole thing. It's not even that I wanted to cut them out. It's that they're not emotionally available to be in a relationship with. It's like, regardless of me even wanting what I want, no one's home inside. I love that you said that about explaining too, because I recently have had that come up so often. Just not only just dealing with narcissism like that extreme, but like just in life in general with friends or conversations. I recently bought a house and I'm like, when other people don't understand why I wanted to buy this house or don't understand whatever. And I'm like catching myself. There's one conversation in particular where I'm like explaining and now validating. So instead of you being like, hell yeah, you love it, go get it.
Yeah.
I'm now like, trying, you're like, well, why this? Well, you're never going to be able to do business there. You're never going to be able to do this. I'm like now trying to prove to you like why. And I have to catch myself. And then this person's like, you know, a week later, hey, want to go to a party? I'm like, dude, you literally like I wasn't seen, wasn't heard. I almost left your house crying like last week when we talked about that. And if you're not asking, then you don't deserve to know the answer. Like if you're not asking me and you're not already. So this is like another boundary. And I felt like it was relevant because you just brought that up where I'm like catching myself explaining. If you don't care enough to say, how are you doing? I feel like something's weird because we haven't communicated. If you're not saying that, if you're not asking, why do you deserve to know? Why do I deserve to explain, write an essay to you?
No, but I think like with the whole narcissist discussion and like you talked about like how challenging it was to have to cut your sister off and everything like that, I think ultimately at the end of the day, no matter what, it is for the best interest of everyone involved, because how disingenuous is it to keep someone in your life if you energetically don't feel clear with them? Or you like, speaking from me, I know I've wanted to keep narcissists and in my life and keep relationships with people who there wasn't all goodness going on there. It wasn't all the good vibes. And I've carried guilt because I felt like I should keep trying. I should keep efforting.
No.
Yeah. And I got what, yeah, what I'm trying to say is I ultimately have gotten to the point where I'm like, I think the kindest thing I can do is to remove myself because then I'm not lying to you. There's no more confusing energy being caused here. You've cut it off. You've clean slated it so that both parties have an opportunity to learn and grow and move forward if they want to. But when you stay and try to fix and maintain and you love them, so we can't give up. Sometimes like you're doing more damage because you're perpetuating that energy.
Yeah. You can't run yourself over to try for someone else. That's not a real relationship at all. That's just you shitting on yourself.
It really is.
Yeah, it's so prevalent. So I'm glad you brought it up.
It's funny because I've talked with you, I think, 2 or 3 times now. So I feel pretty close with you in a podcasting sense. And I'll just share the backstory for them. We had recorded several months ago and it was in the midst of a Mercury retrograde. And I don't know what happened. We don't know. Like something on both ends, her and my end, just got mixed up. And we both listened to the audio and we were like, that just doesn't seem like it's it. So why don't we go again and have another chat? Because I love talking with you. And I'm here today with Meredith Ochoa. So would you love to introduce yourself?
Yeah. So I do a bunch of crazy shit. I'm an artist. I'm a photographer. I invent my own processes. I'm a curator. I recently wrote a book, Face Your Shit, Heal Yourself, and I have a podcast with the same name. And the name is very descriptive of not only the show, like what it's truly about, and it is just a true statement in itself, but it also actually really corresponds to my astrology chart. So I'm Aquarius Sun, Scorpio Moon, and Leo Rising. And I'd have to pull up my chart to tell you all the houses they were in recently. But it's a very like Scorpio moon thing to say. Face your shit, heal yourself, I feel. And it really does all start there. I lived in hell, in debilitating pain for 17 years with endometriosis. And I was able to educate myself and I was able to heal myself after enduring every month literally dying. I've crossed over to the other side. I've had surgery. I've had been lied to by doctors, you know, for over a decade until I was 12 years old. So through all of that, there was one time that I was just so scared. I had crossed over. I was in so much pain that I died. I was convinced that I was dead in this place. And it scared me so much that I realized, and I had this voice, and I've always gotten really profound messages in the depths of pain, because it's a messenger pain. It's not, we have this really fucked up view of anything we don't understand or that's traumatic is that it's bad, but it's really getting a message to us regardless of how shitty it is for us to go through. And I realized that I could no longer hide or be afraid of this pain of, you know, talking about my period of, because it's like you live a double life when you have something wrong with like your genitals or like anything in that area. It really fucks with your identity entirely. And then periods are such a taboo, unfortunately, a taboo conversation in this society, which I don't know why, because we all came from a period, from a woman. If there weren't for periods, none of us would be here.
Literally. So I'm working to change that conversation
because there's great power in connecting with your body and your cycle. But I got this message that I needed to be authentic and I could no longer hide from who I was or my pain if I wanted to heal. And I needed to see myself for who I really was. And so that became my mission, to help others face their pain and see themselves for who they really are. And I demonstrate that through all my artwork. I have an art series about my journey, and that is in the book as well. And it's a continuation like for the next 13 years. I also employ that in my commercial photography with portraiture
And then photo management, helping people organize their family photos, what they're going to do with them, like their genealogical art, historical photographs. So really, it's the foundation. My trauma, my pain actually became part of my purpose and really became like my superpower, my period.
Yes, it did, because your art is so badass. It is outstanding. You do augmented reality art too, which I'd love to talk about a little bit more later in this episode. I think I called it virtual reality the last time we were talking. Okay. But
whatever.
Two totally separate things. For those who are listening, I've like briefly touched on the concept of endometriosis in a few other episodes, but for those who don't like fully know what that illness is, could you give a breakdown?
Yes. So in short, and some people will say, okay, estrogen dominance, all this other stuff. In short, endometriosis is considered autoimmune because it's why did the immune system not detox the excess estrogen and the excess endometrium flying off? So essentially what happens is a lining of the uterus, of the endometrium, will fly off somewhere, anywhere in the body. Some people, it's like on their intestines, right? It's no longer within the area that it should be in the uterus. For me, for instance, it actually embedded itself into my pelvic muscle. So it's very hard to diagnose because some people like me, it's actually, it doesn't matter the size of whatever flies off and attaches to something, because it's still responding hormonally outside the uterine wall. So that's what causes the pain. So it's still responding hormonally. And that's why people say, okay, well, you know, there's inflammation, estrogen dominance a lot of the times with endometriosis, but it's really not necessarily estrogen dominance. Everyone has different levels of estrogen to progesterone and the ratios and the balance of each. And sometimes people can have it ravaged all over their intestines or something, and they don't really have any pain. And then some other people, like me, it could be just something very small, but it's in my pelvic muscle, which already causes loads of other issues. Not only where it was, but because it's responding hormonally and I'm surrounded by so many nerves, it makes it incredibly painful. Most people are diagnosed through like laparoscopic surgery. That's the only way they can be tell for sure. So that's how it was for me. So they go in through your belly button, little camera, and explore. And so that was the way that I was like officially diagnosed. But unfortunately, it goes undiagnosed for so long, and then it becomes embedded, like mine did, and they can't like laser it out or do anything like that. But regardless of them cutting something out, doesn't actually solve the root cause, which is hormonal imbalance, right? So your immune system, A, and then your hormonal blueprint.
So what were some symptoms and signs that started showing up for you before you got to that point where you feel like you moved through like a death that changed you?
Oh my gosh. No. Lots of pain. Even from when I first started. When we say pain, we're not talking about you can take a Midol, you can take some Tylenol or ibuprofen. We're not talking about that. I wish we were talking about that. We're talking about emergency room level pain, heavy narcotics and still having pain. That level, childbirth level pain. It's very closely like the pain. I've done some research and people have done different tests on, I don't even know how they do it, but pain levels, because they've done it with men to try to like experience a period of
cramps they put on that pregnancy cramps or whatever.
Yeah. And there was a doctor was like, your pain is basically like childbirth. I remember actually my grandmother telling me, oh yeah, if you ever have a child, it'll be really easy because it'd be just like having your period. I'm like, holy shit.
Right. On one hand, it's like, whoa, well, that's good news. And on the other hand, it's like, this is what I do every month.
No.
Yeah.
And it's worse because there's lots of pain, but then, and it's different for everyone, but some of the common ones will be like lower back pain for sure. That is usually a very clear sign of endo too. So lower back, and of course the pelvic pain with sex is very common. Anything really in that area, pain, then nausea, vomiting, sweating for me, like hot flashes, just like profusely, just being like you took a shower or something, like temperature changes, all of that, it's all hormonal, right? And they usually, you know, will prescribe birth control or do all these different things that don't actually address the issue of estrogen dominance or of basically you not being synced with your infradian rhythm clock, which are the four phases, follicular, ovulatory, luteal, and menstrual. And birth control and other things like in our diet take away. Birth control completely cuts you off from that. And so certain hormones, because people think it's not just your period, it's like your brain, your stomach, your digestion. Every organ needs those hormones delivered. It's not just, oh, I just need estrogen for this or progesterone for that. It's your entire body, specifically your brain, is very linked to, yeah, what's going on with your cycle.
Yeah, I've heard people say that your period is your fifth vital sign. It's I forget what the other ones are. Pull them up. But like your part of the reason why it's so counterproductive to be put on birth control is because, yeah, on one hand, like if you have like heavy cramps, they'll go away. If you have acne, like I was put on birth control. I shouldn't say I was put on it. I agreed to take it. But then again, I don't think myself or anybody around me really knew what we were signing up for, which is very common. You know, it is a new drug. Birth control is a newer drug. It hasn't been around. Like, really, it has not. And I think we're seeing the pitfalls of that now. But that being said, I'm like all over the place right now.
It's a lot. Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah. It's a big topic. It's.
Yeah. And like being the fifth vital sign, like it's when you shut all that down, you're not just shutting down your period, because that's what a birth control pill does. It stops your ovulatory cycle. So you're not having a real period. But when you're shutting that down, you're shutting down like the connection that your hormones have to your brain, that they have to like every other organ in your system. And I don't know, like I'm trying to think of a comparison. It's if there's like an intersection that a bunch of different highways connect to and you just put up like a roadblock for it. It's like, where the fuck are the cars supposed to go? No wonder our bodies are getting so backed up.
Yeah, absolutely. It's insane. And what the ovulation, the dangerous part of that is that's like your mental toughness. When that ovulatory phase, there are certain chemicals released in your brain. And it's that confidence. It's like when you're the most fertile, it's you're the most, you know, active, the most social, the most communicative. There's a mental toughness there in your brain and confidence. And so not experiencing that, that's where you get, you know, you hear, and I was definitely one of these side effects of being suicidal and depressed and all of that. It's not even just from ovulation. It cuts off all communication with the infradian rhythm. So it's not just not your brain getting it, not your intestines, not any other organ. And it's very much linked to memory issues and Alzheimer's because of the damage. And unfortunately, listen, I was on birth control for years and it never worked, right? But they go from one to the other because it'd be like, this is what you do if you have endometriosis. We're covering it up, but we're not actually going to talk about any of the four cycles, like the way your bodies work and, you know, the way hormones work. And we're not going to tell you can heal yourself. We're going to give you this. And it sucked because it made things a lot worse for me. And totally, there are people that it absolutely helps. And I get that. I just wish that people were educated in what it actually is, unfortunately, because you don't really get to make a fair choice when you're presented with this marketing that is absolutely false. Mm. And a lot of the drugs that are out today, this is just in general, they're not required to test on women in their menstruating years because they deem it too difficult. So they only test on women that are menopause that are more like men because you no longer have the infradian rhythm clock, the follicular, ovulatory, luteal, and menstrual. It's not just your period. It's that 28-day cycle, right? Because men are like short circuit batteries, 24 hours, right? They reload, so to speak, hormonally. Testosterone highest around 9, drops off around 5. What do you know? We have our work day. And then every day resets, right? Women, it's the same thing. It's just over the course of the month. So it's the same as their day. So 9 a.m. would be like follicular. And then all the way to the end of the day, 5 or later would be the menstrual over the 28 to 35 day cycle. So they deem that too difficult to follow. We have to have it only be on men and menopausal women. And then they say, oh, that counts, right? Because those women, their bodies are more like men. So no wonder we have all these strange ass reactions, because they're not even clinical trials on women that are actually menstruating in these critical times. And it sucks because it's not only a loss for those women, it's a loss for the world of just feminine wisdom that's gained from these phases. And this is where it gets, when you get off birth control and you detox and you realize like all of this shit, you really get to another level of being synced not only with your body, but the entire universe. And that's what I say, instead of the birth of a child, your period is the birth of your truth. It's what's true for you right now in this moment in time. And I feel like actually astrology, especially with the moon phases, obviously all that's linked, you know, to a woman's cycle, but cyclically living in general is how we are meant to live just as beings in this universe. This programming they have of what I just mentioned with the 9 to 5 and like doing the same thing every day. No, nothing, very few things in nature operate that way.
Right? Yeah.
You know, it's everything's like on cycles, and just connecting with those phases for me has, I can up leveled is like an understatement. It has brought me not only closer to myself, but to other people and to just the universe and God in general.
I was laughing when you mentioned how scientists don't want to perform some of these tests on menstruating women because it throws in too many variables to their results. And it's like, well, that's not an inconvenience to your scientific method if that's what's going on for 50% of the population all of the time. That's a factor that you need to be including in your scientific practices. And your shit doesn't work right if you cannot get the same result replicate. That's not on women's bodies to try to adapt for your science. That's on your science to adapt to the bodies and the people and the reality in front of you. So it always is funny to me when I hear it throws in too much of a variable. We can't work with it. Well, those are the people you're supposed to be working with. That's where you're. What is ironic to me about that is if these big brain scientists and these men and these educators were so smart, wouldn't that be the most impressive code to fucking crack, to actually do the research to understand this and then make the world work with it, make it work for our bodies instead of trying to like hybrid mutate robot us to the nth degree all the time? Like,
right.
Way to use your fucking degree to do something groundbreaking. Exactly. I know that's just me being an instigator, but really.
And it's true.
Yeah,
it's true. It's by design. What you just said proves it is not because you're not intellectually capable. It is a choice to keep certain people, women specifically, in this way medically. It is by design, these systems. And this gets into a whole other topic, but anything that you shy away from or you try to push down, it's usually because you fear it. And a lot of the world fears, the powers that be, let's just say, fear feminine wisdom. They fear the feminine polarity, which isn't just women. Every single person, men and women, has both masculine and feminine, their polarities of energy. Women are just the physical embodiment of feminine energy. Like I said, it gets into a whole other conversation, but the feminine polarity of receiving and listening and self-love and care and all these other things associated with femininity, specifically the what they consider dark feminine energy, which I don't necessarily consider it dark because of the programming we have along with it. But basically the tearing down of anything that isn't true, that isn't sacred, right? And you see these with like different deities, but that is another innate characteristic of femininity, which the truth isn't something that these powers that be really want known. That's why I had to search for 17 years. It wasn't just put out on a table for me. In fact, I had to dig. I had to go against what my doctor said. I had to go against what every mainstream thing said to even find the truth. And it really shouldn't be that way. And that's why I have the show Face Your Shit, Heal Yourself. And that's why I'm talking about it.
Yeah. Hell yeah. So you went through this experience where you literally feel like, I remember getting stuck on this the last time I talked to you about this. That experience, your like death experience, do you literally think you died? Or was it a feeling that was like so dark that it was like, this is the mental experience I'm moving through? Either way, that's a death. And that's, I don't know. There's something about that experience, like the way you share it, that absolutely fascinates me because, of course, it sounds scary, but that's where you learned.
Yeah.
I don't want to say the idea, but you learned about like healing through authenticity through that.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Totally. I don't regret any of the pain that I've ever experienced because I have a different relationship with it as me trying to get a message to me. And sometimes, unfortunately, with all these poisons we ingest and talk, we don't know, you know, like we're born into it. It makes it hard for our higher self, our bodies to communicate to us, just not only on a biological level, but spiritual, mental, like etheric, all the levels. So what it really was, I do think that I died, but this has happened multiple times. It was just one very specific time that was very bad, but I never went to the fields of wheat, you know, like I never made it that far. They're like, no, you're not ready, but get this message, right? So it's a telepathic message. So there's so much at once, but it really is just complete surrender. And when you're forced to surrender, there's a great power and freedom in that. I know it sounds very contradictory, but I have felt more empowered. Like when I'm in those depths of pain, there is a sense of power because you're forced to essentially surrender to whatever's being told to you right then and there, like to whether, you know, it's your higher self, the universe, mother, father, creator, whatever you want to call these forces, you experience them in a great amount of pain because there's nothing else to do. It's just that. It's sit the fuck down. This is happening. And unfortunately, but also fortunately, we don't always necessarily listen or take it seriously until something like that occurs. You know, I can't say that I'd be like, if it was just handled through Tylenol, would I have looked into it? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because if you have a Band-Aid for something and you don't have to dive deeper into it, why would you? It's fine. Like, the Band-Aid's working, everything's okay, so I can keep focusing on the things I want to be focusing on.
Yeah. And that's going back to the symptom treating and everything, and also the conversation about narcissism. Even if you cut someone out or you cut something out, endometriosis, a person, whatever, you're like, cool, I've cut out all the toxic people from my life. That doesn't mean that it's not just going to come right back because you are the source of it all. And I think just that realization of it's not necessarily what's going on the outside, like whether it be pain, whether it be like a person or whatever, it's like, what am I doing? And that's really what all of that experience of dying and that message of just, you need to see yourself for who you are. Like, not looking at someone else, like the doctor for the answer, or this person or that person, because the answers were already within me. They were in my own body, and they always have been. And I'm not saying, of course, there are people and guides that can help you connect more to you, but it's exactly for that reason. It's not for you to just follow them and be dependent on them. True healing, it's with yourself.
So what did you start implementing, or once you had that comeback from that death experience, what did you start implementing, or like, whether it was like literally I started eating a different food, taking this in, or releasing, what were you letting go of in your life to make space for what it is you knew you needed?
So first I had to get real about, this is actually a really big issue. I know that sounds like, how the fuck can you be taking seriously? But I was so scared that I was like hiding.
Well, when your doctors don't take it serious, and growing up, so I was the oldest girl. I had two brothers. Not that I was ever disrespected for having a cycle in my household, but it is one of those things where it's, oh, she's on her period. Just throw the Tylenol and the heating pad at her until she shuts up. You know, it's jokingly, not in an aggressive way, but it's brushed off constantly. So
it is.
You know, of course. How that's the first lesson, listening to ourselves through the noise.
Totally. And not hiding anymore. That for me was the biggest. That's why I say face your shit. Everything begins with first acknowledging this is happening. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to look at what's actually going on, not get upset and have it be the doctor's fault, or have it be, you know, the scientist's fault that didn't study on women or whatever, like all these other things that are completely outside of our control. And I'm not going to hide when I need the heating pad. I'm not going to hide and be like, oh, I'm on my period. I can't. You know what? This is who I am. This is us judging our pain is huge. It's, oh my gosh, I'm having pain. There's a problem. We have been programmed to think that way, that this is bad. I'm doing something wrong, or I'm doing something bad because I have pain. And that's just not true at all. It's a message. It is a message to your body. You know what? If you need to take Loratab, if you need to take Kratom, if you need to take Midol, if you need to peel birth control, you do whatever you need to do to get yourself through so that you're able to sit down and listen. If you need to fucking sit down with a heating pad at work, we should not be embarrassed to sit down with a heating pad at work. Because guess what? All you people sitting in this office came from someone that had a period.
Yep.
For me, it was very much because I had lived this double life. People that were close to me knew that I had struggled with this, and I would die every month. And people compared it to The Exorcist. Have anyone seen me on my period before? And it was like going out into the world. Okay, I have my period. I go through this exorcist moment. Then I go out into the world again. And sometimes I have to miss days of my life and all this stuff. So it's living this double life. And I can't really talk about it to anyone because everyone thinks blood and all this other shit is weird.
Yeah.
It's holy shit, dude. That was a huge, like, you know what? This is my body and I need to honor what it needs. It's not bad. It's not wrong. It has pain. You know what? It's telling me that it needs rest. I just need to stay in bed. It's telling me that I would like some heat and that feels good. I'm not going to deny myself because, oh, well, that means that you're not getting enough of this and you're not getting enough, your progesterone's too high. And that's like when you do start educating yourself with health, that kind of thought process happens to a lot of people. So first, it was that. It was acknowledging, being authentic, being real about this is a shitstorm and I'm going to walk through it. I'm no longer going to walk around it. I'm not going to use coping mechanisms. I'm not going to blame it on other people. I'm walking through. I'm going to sit with my pain. I'm going to ask it what it needs. I'm going to look at it in the face of everything that I've been so scared of. Scared of dying, again, all those other things. I started doing that, and I was listening to a podcast, and I heard her mention this book by Alyssa Vitti. It changed my fucking life. Everyone should read it. Mm-hmm. She has two books, Woman Code, number one, and then In the Flow. Those two books, specifically Woman Code, were the foundation of how I healed myself, because it really walks you through each of the phases, what's happening in your body, what's happening in your brain, how you can biohack and leverage this in your life beyond just healing from all of these diseases, not just endometriosis, PCOS, fibroids, because it's all connected. It's all connected, and it's all been by design, in a way, unintentionally created and somewhat intentional, if you ask some people, by the way that we live, by women basically living like men. I heard something the other day where it was like, I thought it was perfect. It was actually Lisa DeYoung that I had on my podcast. And she was saying endometriosis, because she had some guests on her show, that endometriosis is actually a response to patriarchal overbearingness because it's so associated with estrogen dominance, because it's responding still with estrogen. And that's why we have pain. And that's why so many treatments are like, just take away estrogen, just become a man, right? Like Lupron, yeah. Literally, that's what they give women transitioning to become men. Puberty blocker, that's what they're prescribing people to treat their period pain. And they're like, oh, you may start growing a beard, your voice may deepen. Not that there's anything necessarily wrong with that, but you don't know what the fuck you're signing up for when you're like, I just want to have relief from my cramps. And you're now this drug, I'm going to have to become a man for, I'm going to have to literally just remove all estrogen. No. Anyway, but that's just a little taste of the going around and the by design criminal, because it actually, these companies have been sued criminally, criminal prescriptions by the medical community. It's no wonder that everyone's really fucked up and confused.
In that vein, do you have any advice? Maybe not even for forgiveness, because I get nauseated with how often people are like, we need to forgive. Do what you got to do, boo. But do you have any advice that you've come up with for yourself in terms of moving beyond the frustration or anger or hurt when you do realize I've been lied to, these doctors aren't giving you the full truth? Like, how do you process that?
Yes. So first, you don't fucking lie and tell yourself that it's okay and that it's not, and like to try, you know, don't be judgmental. No, be real. Anger, it may not be nice, but it's a loyal ass friend. It's going to tell you every time when your boundaries have been violated. It's going to tell you what's up. And you need to listen to that. It's not just, oh, I'm angry. It's listen to what needs to not get met. What is that? These are messages. The emotions aren't meant to be politically correct, censored. It's messages for you. So I would say start with that first. Let yourself get that out so you can see what it is that you didn't get, first off. And then forgiveness, huge. But forgiveness, it can only be achieved when that first part is there. So you first are real about it. Then you're realizing, well, I didn't get this. Then forgiveness, I think a lot of people misunderstand. They think it's for the other person. No, it's for you. Forgiveness is for you to set yourself free. It's not condoning at all. It is not condoning. I don't condone what has happened at all, but I forgive because I don't want to be attached to that shit. That's their own journey. That's their own bullshit, that when you don't forgive, you're actually getting their karma. You're attached to it. You're attached to their bullshit somehow. So it's, if you really want to like get someone, so to speak, forgive them. Because it is the chains that bind you to that. Because at the end of the day, it's like, it all comes out in the wash. We don't know what someone else is going through. We really don't. That's not an excuse at all. Things happen that shouldn't have happened at all. But they did happen. And we can move on. And we can be independent from that and not be chained to what comes of that situation. And that just comes from, first of all, Melanie Tanya Evans, who we were talking about a little earlier, has helped me loads with that. Part of her program is very much centered on forgiveness. And there's like a whole forgiveness process there that I still use and that I think needs to be talked about more, because most people are holding on to shit and they don't realize that, oh, well, I don't want to say that it's okay, so that means I can't forgive. No, you can forgive and still know that it wasn't okay what happened to you, but you can just move your ass off, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love it. I love what you have to say. I feel you 100%, girl.
I know one of the things that you've used not only to cope, but then like to thrive in your life from all of the pain that you went through with endo has been your artwork. So can you share with listeners how that began for you and how you've used your art to face your shit, heal yourself?
Totally. So it was part of my response to the message that I got, the very profound message of you need to see you. You need to see yourself. And I decided to, because I never explored it through my art before. And that's part of what I mean about living this double life. I've been an artist, been a photographer for years, and never looked at this huge part of my life. And there was a series at the time when I was healing. It was Beeple sold the, I don't know if people know Beeple. He sold the world's most expensive NFT. It was a project called Every Days, 5,000 days, where he made a piece of art every day for 5,000 days and sold it for $200 million, or it was like a shit ton of money. And it was sold as an NFT. And it was really cool. And I, but at the same time, and this is also in my chart, for me to change something or for me to get inspired, I have to get to like a certain level of pissed off.
It sounds like cute.
But it's actually because Al Ghul, the demon star, is like my Jupiter's on Al Ghul. So my anger actually can bring expansion and great change and blessings. And it has. It's how I've manifested many things weirdly. My life is, I get to a certain level of pissed. I'm like, you know what? I'm fucking done with this. Hmm. We're done. We're done being slave to this pain. We're done being like, I reach a certain level of just like, this is done. So I saw that project and I started to get to that level. And I was like, you know what? And there was more things to it, like with art and the whole art industry that I was frustrated with. And I was like, I'm so fucking tired of seeing these every day. Gotta finish all this shit by the end of the day. The night, you know, I just learned about the testosterone, our whole world being shaped around testosterone, the 9-to-5 workday. And, you know, this everyday mentality. And I was like, you know what? I'm not gonna make a fucking piece of art every day because there's tons of people that do these everyday projects. And this whole like
hashtag yoga every damn day.
There you go.
That's fine.
There you go. A sketch a day. A day. One a day. It's all a day. It's like everything fucking revolves around this day, this clock, right? Like the testosterone, like all of that stuff. And it's shaped around that. And I knew I was starting to, I would just have these realizations from the book and all the research I was doing into like how much of our lives really shaped around this. So I was like, I'm not going to make shit every day. I'm going to make art every phase, and I'm going to educate people on the art is going to represent what that phase is, what's going on in the brain and the body, the energy of that phase and what it looks like, what it means. And I'm going to do it spanned out over 13 years, which 13 is one of my lucky numbers. It's also greatly associated with divine feminine, but it's also almost equivalent to his 5,000 days project that he did. And by the way, nothing wrong with Beeple. I think his artwork's really cool. It was just the experience of learning this information and being like, I'm fucking tired of every days. How about every phase? So it was...
When somebody blows up like that, it's like when it's the hot topic, it's the hot thing, and then suddenly everything has to be done that way. But we forget when people show up like that, they've been putting in work for weeks, days, months, years on the back end before we even saw any of their actual like grandeur of what they created. That then also behind that, people forget that what made them special and stand out and interesting was that they had their own unique thing going, and now everybody's trying to replicate it. And oh, we have to work every day to be just like people. And it's no, be yourself. Just do you, boo.
Do you. And it was, it's like the feminine response, basically, to this masculine everything being like in this day form
right? It's the yin and the yang. And yin, this, again, getting back to the polarity conversation of, you know, the slow, the waiting, the patience, the listening, the receiving has all but been deleted. You know, the beingness instead of doingness. You need both masculine and feminine. So when you just have one, look at the world we live in today. Does it work? No, it doesn't work. And I think people are seeing this more and more. So the response to that series is what sparked this. And so the masculine part of the series is the structure, right? Is the actual phases themselves. And then the feminine is what's in that, living the art, right? Living what is in the follicular phase. And that is the energy of that becomes the piece. And so I also didn't want it to become like this mass produced, oh, Meredith's in this phase, gotta make a piece of art, factory, whatever. Like, we can easily sink into that with the world that we live in. So the first year when I first started it, I'm listening to my body, right? I was doing it every phase. I started in April 2021. And so it's still continuing because it's going to continue for the next 13 years. But then I got that message of this is becoming like a factory, right? So I zoomed out and I looked at it in terms of the year and the seasons and more actually associated with astrology and the solstices and the season changes. So I did basically each 3 months. So there's 4 3-month periods. So January, February, March, follicular. Then we change into summer, ovulatory. Then we change summer to fall, luteal. Then fall to winter is menstrual. And so the phase, the piece of art that it represents is actually the entire cycle. So I can go through an entire cycle in January and make a piece that's still centered around follicular phase because I lived that entire cycle. Mm-hmm. So there's many, it gets really interesting when you start to think about how we think of time and some of our like programming and attachment to that. And so that's been another really cool part of the series is not just creating these pieces, but I'm living it. So I'm getting the messages as I am in those phases myself and then sharing it with others. And then, of course, having the resources of what do you do if you're really struggling and you are dying every month in your period? Having those resources for people when I release each piece and when I go on the podcast and all of that stuff as well. I really love doing it. It's really my sacred practice. And it's also something that I just feel privileged to share. And it's something that I feel like people get to experience with me because I'm living it. And it's not just, you know, I planned this out, or they do take planning and I do zoom out a bit, but it's different than creating a collection about a certain message or a narrative. The message is what's going on with you right now and sharing that because you're a part of this and you and the collective is source. So it's like you sharing that. There's other people that are experiencing that as well. And it speaks to a greater understanding and connection with others.
What do they say? Life imitates art, right? Do you have a favorite piece that you've created so far on your journey through your installations?
Oh, yeah, I do. Well, they're also different. I will say, I think like a classic piece that I have. And there's also writing that goes along with it. It's not just, I totally left that part out. I don't know how. The writing is the other part of the art that goes along with this. Basically talking about the message in the piece and what I got from living through this phase and also revealing like how I healed myself. You know, the last piece that I did was about letting yourself be seen and how basically all of your power lies in your willingness to be seen. And that was a huge part of me healing from sexual abuse. I would say, though, just to get back to your question, my favorite phase to create in is the luteal phase, which most people consider the bitch phase. It's because we've been programmed by society. Oh, women are getting shit done. They're a bitch. Oh, they're like, it's holy crap. The luteal phase. Okay, so it's the phase where you would get PMS, but PMS really only happens when there's hormonal imbalance. Mm-hmm. So if you're feeling yourself being like really overly emotional, and again, it's not a judgment, it's not bad, it's fucking fine. It's what happens. It's just, this is the reason why it's happening, but people have programmed it in, right? Oh, you're going to be a bitch right before you start your period. But actually, it's the time when your brain is most primed to get shit done. And it's like the 10 to 14 days. It's the longest phase. It's the fall, if you want to put like a season to it. Most people consider it as like this fall time because it's right before the winter. And I just love it because you still have a lot of energy to get stuff done. But it's just, to me, it's all about boundaries. It's all about asserting your boundaries, but also listening to what else maybe I need to release before I go into resting mode, which is menstrual. So I love the luteal phase, and it is very difficult for a lot of people. I love all the phases, but I love that phase in particular. And there's a piece, to answer your question again, well, there's a piece called Over the Rainbow, and it's in the background usually of a lot of times when I did my podcast, but I moved. So there may be a different piece now, but it's basically me coming out of a womb, and it's sitting on stairs, and it's in the philosopher's pose like this on the side, right?
I love that one. Yes, I've seen it a lot. I love it.
And there's a little haiku by it. And it's, I'm trying to remember now, but it's like a haiku. So it's 575. And it was like, basically, I searched for the answer over the rainbow. I searched for the answers and I found a mirror. Mm. And I think that really
chills. Chills everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. It sums up the series, and it's just very true to the experience in a very short way. All the searching, it's when you really start healing, you realize, holy shit, it was me the whole time. And sometimes we need to not realize that we have the answers. We, in order to find them, we need to like be a slave to the pain for a little bit. We need to be this. It's not bad or wrong or anything. We need to go through these experiences to even be able to enjoy. We wouldn't even be able to know what we want if we don't know what we don't want. If we hadn't experienced that contrast, we wouldn't be able to enjoy the healing that's on the other side.
Oh yeah, I've said this quote on my show probably, I don't even know how many times at this point, but I love Parvati Shallow. She was a Survivor winner, and she's also a yoga teacher and like thought leader now. But she says, sometimes you need to be pulled off center to know where your center is. And it's not comfortable. You probably don't feel good when you're pulled off center. But if we can be mindful through it, that is the place where we realize, well, this isn't where I want to live in. So this can't be my center. That gives me the opportunity to go explore what my center is. And that can be a really beautiful thing. I agree.
Yeah, it is totally beautiful. Very love that quote. It's so true.
How can people take advantage of your offerings, get their hands on these art pieces, and work with you?
Yeah. So my website, MeredithOchoa.com. Literally, if you're on it for 3 seconds, the little pop-up will appear. And it's every day to every phase. That just subscribes you to my newsletter. And so you'll get the pieces. You'll get anything that I release. There's also a services page on there that lists out like everything that I do, from like the photo management stuff to photo shoots to like commissioned artwork, as well as the podcast. And all those episodes are on there. And then my email is on there, as well as my social channels. I'm fucking everywhere. On YouTube, Spotify, I'm on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
Real quick, how did you come up with the name Another Fucking Artist? Because that's like where a lot of your stuff is, right?
Yeah. So I like to explain it. So I have two websites, actually, but they're both obviously me. So Another Fucking Artist is like the more commercial side of what I do, like photo shoots, maternity, boudoir, portraiture. And it's where my services page is. And then Meredith Ochoa is the original artwork, the actual products offered. So commissioned art, fine art stuff. And the another fucking artist, how I came up with that name. So as many things. And I put like a little parentheses now, like for the branding. Not doesn't, it's another fucking artist, because that's, yeah, that's the implied. It's like the anti-sales statement. And this, again, comes from like me being frustrated with many things in art. And not everyone gets it, but who the fuck cares? Because it's fun.
It's made up and the points don't matter.
You either get it because you're like, what is that? But it speaks to just acknowledging the complete oversaturatedness of the market, but then also creativity is the dominant force in all of everything. There's weeds growing through the sidewalk. Like, you can't stop life. And I'm another fucking part of that. I realize that I'm just another part of that, but then I'm also a part of that. I don't take myself too seriously, but then I also know that I'm creator. I also know that I am source, having Meredith Ochoa experience. I also know that I am incredibly important. So it's by knowing that, you know, you're not having power necessarily over other people and recognizing that you're just privileged to be in this creative kind of matrix that we're living in, but then also able to laugh and have fun and realize that, yeah, my art is pretty good. And yeah, it is pretty cool. But I just also got tired of people being like, the best wedding photography or memories or whatever. And it's like, how can I just be like, listen, dude, it's because I know how people feel when they get these flyers or stuff from other people. They're like, another fucking artist.
Another damn
astrology girl.
Oh my God. Exactly. So I'm just saying it for you. So we know, we're all on the same page. Listen, I know, but actually because I know, it means that I may be a little different than most people that are trying to like say that there's something else. I'm just being real. And so it's a way of being real that isn't too self-deprecating. I don't think some people are like, that's another fucking artist. I'm like, dude, I know that. But by saying that, it's like, you get it. By saying that, you know you're not just another fucking artist. You know?
Amazing. On that note, I will shut it down here for now. I would talk to you for 12 more hours if I could. Because I love talking with you. Like, one of my big things here is the authenticity. Like, I think the word authenticity gets spun up so much in our culture and with social media. If you're not sharing everything, you're not authentic. And it's like, whoa, wait, that's not it. That's not what that means.
No.
But you do radiate authenticity to me. Like when I speak with you, when you reached out to me for a collaboration together, you were just so straight shooter. You were like, I like what you do. Here's what I do. We should work together. It's so refreshing to talk to you. So thank you so much for coming on my show and sharing just this little bit of juiciness that you have to offer.
Thank you so much. It's such an honor and it's so refreshing to talk to people like you that are also authentic and just sharing their truth. I really appreciate it.
Messiness and all. Let's do it.
Absolutely.
All right. Until next time, friend.
Bye.
If you liked this episode or you think this show would be useful for someone else, the best way you can show your support is to share it on your social media outlets with family and friends or subscribe with the link below to receive exclusive perks. And if you're feeling really generous, please leave a review on podchaser.com. YouTube or Apple Podcasts and pick up a signed copy of my book about how I healed myself from endometriosis on my Instagram at Meredith W. Ochoa. Thank you so much for listening and for having the bravery to face your shit and heal yourself.